Today on Analog Out, we've got a Stranger Things The Game review. We've got a Senran Kagura Peach Ball review. We're going to be talking about the new Switch Lite and the details that follow. Yeah, I got a Midsummer movie review as well. Check it out.
Check it out!
Hey everybody, welcome back for another fun-filled, exciting episode of Analog Out. I'm Pat, and I'm here with my soon-to-be gone co-host,
Bumlin. I'm dying.
He's dying.
Yep. No, I move in 2 weeks. And wait, God, is it really 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's like 2.5 weeks.
Weird.
But so, yeah. You'll still be calling in, won't you?
Yeah, of course. I'm going to maybe steal this microphone. I don't know.
No.
But I'll no.
You don't have any of the equipment to use that microphone.
That's true. I will get some equipment and record.
In the meantime, we'll just use the mic you have, which is pretty decent.
The USB mic I have.
Yeah.
That one's not bad.
Combined with your new computer.
Yes. Which I am taking with me.
Yeah. You're going to be like an audio man now.
Yeah. So, and we just got done watching the, we decided to do an Ernest marathon. Pat has never watched the Ernest movies before.
Never watched an Ernest movie. We watched Ernest Goes to Jail.
And I think that's the end of the marathon for Pat.
That's the end of the marathon. It wasn't awful, but I imagine that pretty much every movie is the same, just in a different setting. And I don't want to watch any more today.
You got Goofs, and then you have Ernest doing his philosophical speeches.
He does that constantly?
A lot. And
so weird.
He does impressions a lot, where the cross-dressing moment, there's a lot of moments like that, especially in Ernest Scared Stupid. There's a lot of like weird like costume changes where they keep showing him like doing all these different characters, talking.
It's very clear that they were like, this guy's really good at impressions. We got to take advantage. So there's a scene where he's literally, for minutes, he's not doing anything but looking into the camera and doing impressions.
Yes.
And it was very clear that, like, we got to find a way to write in a bunch of impressions. That's what this guy does.
I love the Ernest movies, but I'm super nostalgic towards them. I was cracking up the entire time. Just because it's just,
it was very 90s
slapstick humor. Not a lot of off-color jokes that we
I definitely expected him to be in like a lot of weird like homosexual situations, because that's what like the 90s comedies were all about.
I can't really recall any moments like that, really.
Yeah.
So sorry to disappoint you.
It's weird. Whenever we watch these movies, not just Ernest movies, but the movies from that generation in general, I always have trouble trying to lock down who it was for. Especially, like, Jim Carrey movies and, like, Adam Sandler movies and stuff. Because they're PG-13. The humor is adult humor. Like, it's, like, sex jokes and stuff. But also, it's clearly made for, like, kids.
Well, the amount of slapstick humor.
Right, and just the amount of stupidity and stuff. And, like, no adult would go and be like, this is, well, plenty of people would. Another series, actually, that falls right in that category is Austin Powers. It's all, like, sex jokes and stuff. And it's like, these are adult jokes. But I don't know any adult that would watch this and be like, this isn't fucking stupid as hell. You know, it's very clearly targeted towards kids. But the humor is, like, above kid level as far as the content.
Oh, yeah. There are plenty of jokes that went above my head when I watched that movie.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we watched Ernest Goes to Jail. I was a little disappointed. The cover misled me.
What did you expect from it?
I expected him to accidentally dig himself into jail. Because that's what the cover looks like. And I expected more shenanigans with the inmates.
Yeah.
Like him, like, you know, bumping into them and slapping them on accident, turning around and hitting them with a broom or whatever, and the inmates get all mad.
I liked Lyle. He had some character development.
Yeah. But
Let's move on from this.
All right,
we'll before
move
we put everyone to sleep.
Stranger Things is essentially just like a Google algorithm made into a show where they just distilled down, all right, what will normies be into?
Yep.
I like the characters. And like the references are nice, like just the 80s is like a nice backdrop. But did you watch any of the new season?
I'm halfway through it right now.
Rich Mike made the point of literally every single scene is like a different 80s pop song. Like every chance they get.
Oh, yeah.
It's clear that the budget's gone way up because now they have all this money to license these famous songs
out. They partnered up with so many like marketing for this movie as well this time around.
I actually do want to try that new Coke.
It's not going to be widely released.
Like, it's already released, I thought.
It wasn't, but it wasn't a wide release at all.
No?
No.
You had to, like, order it online?
It's like a contest, and, like,
really?
I think some event you could go to, they would have it, but, like, it's not at all, like, a wide release.
Oh.
At all. So,
okay.
Yeah. You can't try it, probably.
Man.
Sorry, man. You got to buy it on eBay.
Got to eBay that new Coke.
Yeah.
Bruh, I'm going to go down to that event, get, like, 5 new Cokes, put that shit up
scalp
on
it
eBay,
up there.
Bruh. God, so, someone actually exists out there that did that.
They absolutely did that.
Oh, wow. Like, what is this? It's almost like a box that you get with it, and I don't know.
Yeah, it was a very limited release.
Oh, this is Coke and Coke Zero Stranger Things bottle. Yeah, it says new, it says it's on Coke's thing. You can, oh. Order the Stranger Things limited edition collector's pack and receive 2 cans of new Coke. Okay. It's $20. Okay, fine. Like,
is it readily available?
I could order it right now.
Huh.
I might be willing to pay $10 to try new Coke. Just because we've heard about it our entire lives, and it's almost just like a myth.
Man, this is awful. I kind of want to go in with you on this.
Yeah, like, I've heard about New Coke my entire life and how it wasn't nearly as good as regular Coke.
I wonder how long it'll take to get to us, because, like, maybe we can do it next episode. Just have, like, a live tasting of it.
Maybe.
We'll have a regular Coke, and then we'll have New Coke.
And yeah.
We'll do the challenge.
They're selling opened used cans on here, empty on eBay for $10 when you can still just buy it.
Well, there we go. We can make our money back. Sell it to some idiot.
True. We could drink the Coke and then just sell
the can. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, there's multiple like open drank cans on here. I don't know what they're actually selling for, but
oh, they're just listing them for that much?
Yeah. Yeah, let me see if I can sort it by sold and see what open ones are selling for. I don't know. It doesn't look like any of the open ones are selling, which...
Good. Why would it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. I didn't realize that you could just order them like that. That must have been a new thing they announced, but... Okay, well... $10 for a new Coke, I guess. Wait, so you get...
You also get 2 bottles of regular Coke, Coke Zero.
Oh, okay, I see.
We could just drink the new Coke out of it and then put the empty cans with the whole pack and resell it for $10.
Yeah.
Overall the show, I mean, it's like a nice background and stuff, but they definitely rely too much on it. And also, I mean, it's nothing particularly deep or insightful. It's just a like action adventure show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying the new season a lot more, but as I'm watching it, I'm just going, I don't think this is going to be a good long-term show anymore at this point. Like, I don't think it was. Yeah,
it very much should have ended at the end of the first season and then just been an anthology series. It could even take place in the same universe, but just, you know, around a different thing that's happening. But yeah, it was very clearly like supposed to only be a one. I think that's how it was originally conceived, as an anthology series.
What's up with the relationship with Hopper and what's her name this time around? It's super weird.
Winona Ryder, you mean?
Yeah.
They were hinting. I think they like kissed at the end of season two.
No, they didn't.
Really?
No. Like her. Oh yeah, her boyfriend gets died. Like slaughtered. Like, it's spoilers.
They did like hint at it though.
Sure, but like, I'm just saying how strange they're trying to make
the
this
two adults.
How much of a weird buildup they're giving them, and like, I don't even care if they get together anymore. I'm halfway through. I don't care.
Two grown adults are acting like 12-year-olds,
bickering about. Well, mostly Hopper, but yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's just because of their hangups, because she had her boyfriend murdered and his family was killed.
Yeah,
so they've both got issues.
There's all sorts of clickbait articles coming up being like, why you shouldn't condone like Hopper's abusive behavior and like toxic behavior and Stranger Things. So,
yeah. And then there was the one I sent you that was like,
oh my God,
look at all these 90s references
and 80s setting
and Stranger Things. It was like, someone says we spared no expense, and they're like, that's a Jurassic Park reference because I don't know anything beyond a movie. Like, no other person has ever used that phrase before.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park. Boy, can you imagine being someone like that? Hearing just like phrases throughout the day and being like, that's a Back to the Future reference. Because that's all you have is a frame of reference.
Hey man, I every weekend I meet people like this.
Yeah. All right. Well, while we're on the topic of Stranger Things,
so
we got the Stranger Things 3.
We got a couple of games to review this episode. Yeah.
Did you read my review?
No, I have not read your review yet.
God, my own partner.
I scroll to the bottom.
My own fucking partner doesn't even scroll
to the bottom of the review.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, on analogoutmedia.com. There is currently a thorough review of Stranger Things
3, the game.
Pat, why don't you go ahead and just sum it up for me? Like, you don't have to go into detail, but just
well, you don't
like,
need to read it because I'm going to tell you about it right now.
Well, I'm not going to. I'm just looking at it, but go ahead.
All right, so I got this game from the company that makes the game, and
cool.
I like Stranger Things enough. I watch it, and I got it, and I put it in, and I was actually pretty excited for this game. It kind of reminded me the way it looked. It looked like Zombies Ain't My Neighbors, which is a game that we like.
Yep.
And it kind of played similarly to begin with. The problem is it's like an open world game. And as we've talked about multiple times, open world games usually suck unless they're done really, really well. And this one was not done really, really well. And one of the great things about Zombies Ain't My Neighbors is it's quick, to the point. It's a level-based thing. You run through, you find the humans, you kill the monsters, you leave. This game was not like that. It wasn't poignant, to the point. So it basically plays like Zombies Ate My Neighbors are like a almost like maybe a gauntlet type deal. In fact, there's even like spawn boxes for rats and stuff.
There's a co-op mode for this game too, isn't there?
Yeah. So the entire game is played with two characters at once. You can scroll through. You can unlock up to 12 characters, I think. You can scroll through and with the characters with the shoulder buttons. Each character has a different ability, mostly limited to just traversal. Like, this character can pick locks. This character can cut a chain.
This person fits through this hole.
Yes.
Things like that.
Exactly. So you have to scroll through, do it, and then you go back usually to the character of choice that you found that you like their style or whatever. The combat is like four buttons. It's an attack, your special ability, which depending on the character is different. You might have like a bomb or Dustin lets out like a little robot that's autonomous and will go and blow up around enemies. And maybe like a tackle, and another button that defends, where you put up like a bubble shield and you get hit and then you take less damage, and then that boosts your next attack. And then the other button is it lets your partner character do their special attack. So it sounds like it's not as simple as it is, but the problem is it's incredibly simple. First of all, like I said, there's only one attack button, and then you have a special button. The special you can only use between 2 and 5 times, depending on the character. So you're almost never using that. So you have an attack button, and that's all you do. You just hit that attack button over and over and over and over again. The defend, I'd never use the defense button because you still take damage. So there's almost no point to use it because it slightly boosts your next attack, but... Or I could just move away from him and hit him twice. You know, that's instead of taking damage. The first aid kits have a cooldown on them. So you can't heal constantly, even if you have first aid kits. So it's like very stupid of you to purposefully take damage. So you don't ever want to use that defense button, really, unless you absolutely have to. So what it comes down to is you're just running around tapping the attack button over and over again, beating up rats and minions, and there's some puzzles to solve that involve, okay, have your partner stand over here, press a button while your main character goes and traverses an area that needs the button to be pressed while you're doing it. It's things like that. Or okay, you stand on the switch while I go through the door.
Yeah, I played the mobile version, which these guys also developed the first game, and it's kind of like that too, the puzzles.
But that game, the mobile version, is totally different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's completely different.
It's like an RPG?
No.
The new one, I mean.
There's a new mobile game?
Yeah, there's a new mobile game.
I'm talking about the first one that came out.
So, off the bat, it did seem kind of cool, but it grew, and it was fine for like 30 minutes or an hour, but it got so old so fast. So, the biggest problem, aside from the repetitive combat, was... the missions and every, like the actual game itself, the story follows the series to a T. I mean, it's exactly the same, but they pad it out with a bunch of fetch quests and stuff. That's all this game is fetch quests. That's literally the entire game. It is fetch quest the game.
Are there any cool boss fights?
No, there's boss fights, but it's the same shit of just now they have a bigger health bar and you're just... attack, 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 walk away because he's coming near you. Attack, 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 walk away.
No,
attack,
like, cool attack. Patterns or anything to remember at all with the bosses or anything like that? Nothing?
No. I don't think so. Mm. Nothing that stuck out to me.
Nah.
So, the missions, all right? This was the biggest problem. This game was so padded with crap. It droned on for so, so long that I found myself just... rushing through the game to try and get to the next objective because I was so sick of playing the missions. First of all, there's like side quests and stuff. That's laughable because I was like, fuck any side quest. By the time I was an hour or two in, I'm like, yeah, right. I'm just going straight to the next objective to get through this chapter as fast as possible because I was so sick of it. So basically, like I said, it's fetch quest the game. So for instance... I have to go talk to somebody at the pool. Okay. Sounds simple, right? All I got to do is go talk to this person. Literally, just walk up to them and hit X. All right, so I go to the pool. Oh, the guard at the door, the lifeguard at the door to the pool doesn't like you and won't let you in the pool. So he says you better go get him a milkshake. So, you get your characters are like, all right, we're going to get him an X-lax milkshake. So he has to leave and he'll have to go poop and he'll let us in because he won't be at the. Okay. So now it says you need 3 ingredients to make the milkshake. You need a shake, X-lax, and ice cream or whatever it is. You know, you need a cup, ice cream, and X-lax. All right, fine. So I got to go to the pharmacy to get the X-lax. I got to go somewhere else to get the cup, and I got to go somewhere else to get the ice cream. Okay, fine. You get to the pharmacy. All right, time to get the X-lax. Talk to the guy at the counter. Mind you, we're still on the first mission. I'm trying to talk to somebody at a pool. All right, I'm here to get the X-lax. Oh, yeah. It's in the closet over there, but I lost the key. It's in the...
You're putting me to sleep.
It's in the back room.
This is awful.
You know, in the back room swarmed with rats. If you clear the rats out, you can have the X-lax for free. Okay, you go in. Go through the maze, kill the rats, take the key, open the drawer, get the X-lax. Okay, you now have one. You have one ingredient to the 3-ingredient shake to go talk to the person at the pool. You get the other 2 ingredients. It's the same exact thing. You go to there, you can find the glass. You have to fight the rats, dig through the basement, get it, come back. Once you have all 3 ingredients, I'm like, cool. I got all the stuff for the shake. I'm gonna go give it to him. Talk to the guy. No, you have to go to the mall and talk to Robin, who will make the shake, the ice cream shop. It's like one thing after the other, just to do the most. And then when you actually finally do get to the pool and talk to the person that you were supposed to talk to, they're like, yeah, I need you to go do this thing. And it's just like, fuck this. It was like so padded out and monotonous. It was very clear that, because they're charging like $20 for this game. It's so clear that they basically had like a mobile game that should have been free. And we're like, well, we got to give people a reason why we're charging $20 for it. So I guess we'll just pad it out with fetch quests. So a quest that should have taken 2 minutes of go talk to so-and-so's mom next to the pool is now go talk to the guy who's guarding the pool, get him the milkshake, get the 3 ingredients, go to the mall, mix the milkshake together, give it to the guard at the door, and then talk to their mom. Like, that's all it is. So, I really disliked this game. I really did. I could not be done with it fast enough. I was, like I said, I was skipping all the side stuff because I'm just like, I just want to be done with it. There is like a crafting portion of it, but it's pretty simple. I didn't find myself like seeking out stuff to craft. It was simply, all right, here's a crafting bench. And then there's only like a set amount of like maybe 15 or 20, different things you can craft. And I would be like, oh, there's a crafting bench. Okay, let me go see. And you would just scroll through and there'd be a check mark of all the items that are needed. And once I just, by happenstance, would pick up the stuff while I was going around, I would check at the bench and be like, can I craft anything? Nope. Okay. Continue on. That's all it is. And it was just, they were equipable accessories. So you would craft something and it would be like, okay, now you have plus 15 physical damage. And that's about the extent of it. You know, my wife, she usually, she spends a lot of time watching me play games and stuff. And even she was just like, this is boring. I don't want to watch this anymore. And I very rarely have ever heard her just be like, I'm bored just watching this. So pretty much sums it up. I would say unless you are a Stranger Things freak and just have to consume all Stranger Things stuff, skip this one.
That's a shame. But not overly shocked.
Yeah. We got another game to review.
We do.
Why don't we save that one for the end? Why don't you tell us? They announced finally what everyone knew was coming. And then they lied. They just, you know, these companies don't get enough flack for just lying to us. Okay? Because I'm pretty sure that Nintendo just straight up, flat out, earlier this year was like, we are not going to be announcing any new
hardware. Yeah.
That's a lie. That's one of the golden rules, Nintendo. You don't lie to your friends and your people that give you money.
So the Switch Lite was announced, and
we all knew it was coming.
We all knew it was coming, but I can't even say that I'm surprised of the stupidity with it. Can't. So it was shown off, and it's like a nice, like, kind of sleek design. The colors are kind of cool. I actually kind of like the look of it. People say that it looks like a toy and like cheap crap. I like the way it looks. It looks like a slick, like, I actually like the new 2DS XL design and everything. I actually kind of enjoy that, but I understand it's not for everybody. It looks like a Fisher Price toy.
It basically, these look like Switch versions of like the 2DS.
Yeah.
Like the cake slice 2DS.
For sure. So this, okay, so
those which of you, had some really nice looking ones.
Those of you who aren't aware, which I'm sure most of you are, I even had coworkers who don't really play games approach me about it, is that it's basically a Switch that is designed for people who prefer to just game in handheld mode. It's meant to be a budget Switch device that it has features stripped down, so it's just a little bit smaller, and it only does handheld because it's meant to market towards people who would buy like a 3DS back then and just be fine with that. And that's fine. This is
the 2DS to the 3DS.
Yeah. So,
but you know what the problem is for me?
Hold on. Let's just go through the actual like device real quickly, and then we'll do our critiques of it.
All right.
So this thing lacks a TV mode. It lacks a tabletop mode. On the website, I guess it was later verified that apparently you can use Joy-Cons on it, but the Joy-Con controllers on the actual system itself, it doesn't have Joy-Cons. It's just part of the system. So
Why would you disattach Joy-Cons to it, though?
Well, I mean, as in, like, I'm talking about you can't use, like, you can't have, like, somebody sitting next to you and, like, you have an additional controller, like a pro controller.
You can
as well.
Or can't?
I still need to figure that out because the website's not
pretty
clear.
Sure you can.
I think later on, a representative confirmed that you can. But on the actual Nintendo Switch, like,
that's like
website.
Worse than the multiplayer mode on the Nomad.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, the real key thing to take away from this is that there's no Bluetooth features, no HD rumble, and there is no TV out.
I don't think there's any motion controls either.
No, there is not. There are no the IR motion camera and all that stuff is not included in there.
It's irritating me so much how apologists for Nintendo,
oh my God,
are like defending the battery and keep bringing up the battery. Like, it's got a better battery. It's like, no, it doesn't. They took out rumble, motion controls, and Bluetooth. That's where you're getting the extra 30 minutes from.
Yeah.
It's an extra half hour.
Yes.
Instead of a 2.5 to a 6.5 battery, it's a 3 hour to a 7 hour battery. And it's like, that's not an improvement. They just took out a ton of features, and that's where you're getting the extra battery life from. I don't put my phone into airplane mode and be like, sweet, I got a nice upgraded phone. It lasts longer now. So this Switch Lite, all right, let's get right into the nitty-gritty here, because me and you are not fans of it. And it's not that I hate the design or anything.
D-pad's cool.
D-pad's great. It's just, this is for stupid people. they want people to, like, by not knowing it, and they're going to have so many issues. They're going to have so many problems with this thing because they're going to buy it. People who don't know any better are going to buy it for Christmas for their kid, and then you're going to get a bunch of problems of, oh, we bought this in Mario Party for our son and they can't play it, or we bought this and we wanted to play, we want our two kids to play together. We thought that it had two controllers, or we thought it could connect to the TV. No. And I'm trying to think of some other games that you just flat out can't. Oh, 1-2 Switch. You know, these are going to be games that people are going to buy for their little kids, both of which are games that my little sisters have on their Switch. You're going to get people who buy it and don't know what they're doing, and then they're going to be returning it, or at least complaining about it.
It's odd because they're obviously marketing it towards those people, and these same people are going to be the same people who, when they saw the Wii U come out, go, oh, I already have this.
Right.
Yeah.
There's two types of people that are going to buy this.
Hardcore collectors.
No, not even. I mean, yeah, maybe, but I'm not talking about them. I mean, the biggest two demographics that are going to buy this are people who just buy whatever garbage that Nintendo puts out. You know, the types of people who bought Labo day one, even though they're like 35 years old. And like little kids and parents who don't know any better. That's the two, that's those are the two main demographics. I think what they're doing is a little bit dishonest, because the dock, they sell the dock and the wires and everything for $90. So by their own admission, the dock alone with the wires and everything are worth $90. Then you have, so right now we're down to $210. Then you have the detachable Joy-Cons that have all the technology in it, and they sell for $80. Okay? So now when you remove that, let's just say, I mean, it's cheap shit. Like, when you remove everything from that, literally it's just a circuit board with, like, inputs on it, like, you know, contacts. That's all it is. It's just contacts on a circuit board. Let's just go crazy and say it costs them $30 to do that, which it won't. But so now you're down to $160. Then they remove the Bluetooth, the HDMI compatibility, not including a game in the bundle, which they've been doing for a while now. So when you they don't have a stand, a kickstand. It's so when you take all that stuff out, there's no way that it's worth $200. Not even close. If this was $150, I would still be annoyed that it doesn't have the option for TV out. But I would be like, okay, fine, whatever. $150.
Strip down budget.
Now system, you are talking about that goal of, oh, we just want like little kids who don't know any better and just want a Switch to play, that they have something cheap or whatever. The problem is, this is a 2DS. To the 3DS, except for instead of taking away the 3D, they took away the second screen. You know, and now you can't play half the games.
Yeah.
So it's not that extreme, but the biggest draw to the system is being able to switch it back and forth. And I get, okay, so you want to make a budget system. $200 would have been fine if they just removed the Joy-Con technology and the dock. By their own admission, the dock and all the wires and stuff is worth $90 to them. So at retail. So they already did. They got rid of all that stuff, but they also got rid of all the technology and the Joy-Cons, which is what, by their own admission, they've said over and over again, oh, well, that's why the Joy-Cons are so expensive. Same thing with the Switch itself when it was $300. Oh, well, we couldn't sell it for any less than this because of all the technology and the Joy-Cons and stuff. Well, none of that technology is there anymore, and none of your $90 dock accessories are there anymore. So why is it $200? And also, it costs them the manufacturing level, what, $1 per Switch to put the HDMI chip in there, and they took it out for what? For reasons? If this was a $200 Switch that still had the ability to, if I want, I can go out and buy a dock and plug it in, then I'd be like, all right, well, you know, it's still kind of overpriced, but whatever. Like, now you have a system that is so focused on local multiplayer that you cannot play multiplayer at all. You just can't do it. Like, yeah, there's a way to do it, but not really. You know, it's like, it's nobody's actually going to do that. It's not plausible. There's not even a kickstand on it. So I don't exactly see the point of it. And also, it's not any smaller, really.
Not really, no. It's barely smaller.
It's barely smaller, and if you want to get technical, it's not smaller at all. It actually lessens your ability to take it portably because you can't remove the Joy-Cons. So when I've taken my Switch out before in just my pocket a few times, and I would disconnect the Joy-Cons to it, and that would make the tablet small enough to fit in my pocket. Without being able to take these Joy-Cons off, that you can't do that, and it's actually bigger than just the tablet. So it's not any more portable at all. And the idea, I don't know if they just have everybody brainwashed or people just don't care and they want to convince themselves of whatever so they can justify spending the $200 to get the new Switch with the color they want. And that's fine. But I keep seeing this argument of like, sweet, a more portable Switch with a better battery. And I'm like, neither of those things are true.
Yeah.
Neither of those things are true. It's such, the size difference is so marginal. And then when you take into consideration that the Joy-Cons can't come off, it's like, if that was the difference between you being able to take it out, like, what? It's not honest.
I chalk it up to Nintendo's good at making sleek, cool-looking designs people like, and all the, and they have a system where they're going to have a bunch of variants. They've already announced the Pokemon one that's going to come out, and we're going to see a whole bunch of them. I bet when Animal Crossing comes out, we're going to have an Animal Crossing one.
And I've said repeatedly that I would buy it no matter what. I'm not buying one of these.
Yeah.
I'm not buying one of these for an Animal Crossing.
It's really disappointing for me. I don't care anymore, but when it was originally revealed to me, I got super excited because I woke up and just like scrolled my phone and I saw the announcement and went, oh my God, cool, I want this thing. And then it was just such a disappointment for me because
I never in a million years would have guessed that it wouldn't have TV out capabilities. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, this is dumb.
Well, I raged so hard at that because it's just, for me, and apparently they're addressing this in some shape or form. I don't know. But the problem I have is that I just made the Switch to all digital games. And I like the idea of a more portable and sleek Switch, which this is not really. But my initial thought was, oh, cool. This is, oh, it doesn't do TV out. So I can't get the best of both worlds at that point. So if I decide, if someone out there decides to buy a second system for this more sleek and stuff to it, they can't have both their digital games on both these systems.
Right.
So they can't get both.
It's not like Xbox Live where you have an account that you sign in. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and also, it's just amazing the Olympics and like the people go through to jump through to defend Nintendo because someone online posted my same exact thought and all these fanboys came and were just like, hey, but this loser doesn't even know you can already do that. And it's just, no, you can't. You can transfer your account over to your Switch. Are you telling me that
every time I want to
come home and play my system on a home console and TV, I need to transfer it over and that's acceptable to you? Like, it's mind-blowing because you have these drones and zombies who are just like, you question every decision Nintendo makes and you're just like, why are they doing this? It's 2019. This system did it 10 years ago. And then you have these drones who are just like, I like it like this. And it's just like, you're ruining.
Yeah.
Like, the reason people go on these tangents where they go, like, people, like, just want to complain and everything. And it's just like, yeah, that's exactly how a market works. A product comes out, and you go, I don't want to buy this because X, Y, Z. And then the company goes, we heard what you guys said about this product. You had a problem with this. We're going to address it. Then you have all these idiots who are just lining up being like, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then Nintendo looks at it and goes, yeah, clearly we're doing a good job because these guys are defending us.
Yeah, I saw a tweet by a prominent game person that was like, you want a Switch that connects to the TV and has detachable Joy-Cons
by the original.
They already made that. And it's just like, okay, but sure, whatever. Like, go ahead, buy your trash.
Yep.
Like, so the main difference is, so like I said earlier, this is the 2DS to the 3DS. The problem is that the 2DS was like barely more, it was less than the price of two games. It was definitely a cheap piece of crap, which I'm sorry to say, this is. The Switch was already kind of a cheap piece of crap. When you distill it down beyond like to just the tablet, when you get rid of the Joy-Cons and the dock and stuff, the Switch is already kind of a cheap piece of shit. It's got a plastic screen that's 720p tops. It has the tablet technology of like a 7-year-old tablet. Seriously, like 720, 1080p on portable screens, it's even more now. It's, you know, my phone, which is 3 years old now, and wasn't even a top tier phone has like a 2K screen or something like that. The iPhones have had, you know, whatever they call that technology with the micro LCDs or whatever, the quantum dot or whatever. Those have been standard for like 6-7 years now. This is a 720p screen. I mean, this is using a quality screen of like a Leapfrog tablet for kids. So when you break it down, the system is already pretty cheap. And when you remove the Joy-Con technology and the dock and all that, this is a cheapo system. It's made out of plastic. It's got a plastic screen, and it's got screen technology that's almost 10 years old now. So this is not a premium item. And yeah, I mean, if you want to, if that's fine. If I get it, like, but I think 150 what it should have been. They still would have made money at 150 on every unit.
I've said this one when the price point was announced. I just went, all these idiots are rushing over to buy it. So I think they're just going to have it for this as long as they can possibly stretch it out for, and then drop down the price.
I think they're going to get a lot of bad press towards like Black Friday, Christmas time.
You think so?
I think there's going to be a lot of complaints. Yeah. I really do. I really think there's going to be a lot of you hit the nail on the head when you compared it to the Wii U tablet, where it was just like, I think we already have this, you know, or like, oh, I thought this was the Switch. Yep. Was it not Switch?
Yep. And you know, the store clerks are not going to know anything.
No.
I'm like,
well, what are you going to do? You got to train them all to be like, just so you know, ma'am, this is not compatible with Mario Party.
Yeah. So,
and everyone keeps, this is the real mind blowing part. Another example of like people who keep trying to do gymnastics, mental gymnastics to justify it is, I keep hearing like, well, I've got two kids, and so if I buy them two of these Switch Lights, that's only $400. I'm saving myself $200, and I'm like, the Switch can play on the TV and comes with two controllers already out of the box. You wouldn't need to buy two consoles if you have one that connects to the TV, or you can set on a table or whatever. And that's a really big stretch. I don't know about you guys, but when I was a kid, you didn't have to buy the same console for every kid in the household. You bought one, and they would play it together on the TV. You know, it wasn't like, oh, well, little Johnny's, we got to get a GameCube for everyone in the house because, you know, they might fight over it. Like, no, you bought one. And so the idea that, oh, well, I've got four kids and, you know, that's $800 instead of $1,200. It's like, what are you talking about? I've seen that several times now.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that several times. It's like, you realize that the Switch is built for like having two kids. It comes out of the box with two little tiny controllers for them to play with right off the bat. And nearly every first party game is local multiplayer focused.
Mm-hmm.
This would be great if you have one goal in mind, and that's to, you want to Switch because you want to dump like 300 hours into Breath of the Wild by yourself and you have no friends or family. Like, that's what this machine is for. Think of the major games. They're all multiplayer based. All of them. 1-2 Switch, Splatoon, Smash Brothers. I don't know. All the first party games.
I really do wonder, does a Switch Lite have any gyro features at all?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I wonder.
So you have all these major first-party games. Mario Odyssey, I guess, is a one-player game, but it's gimped because you can't use the motion controls.
It's so unclear, a lot of these things with this system.
So it's not that we just want to complain about things. It's that this, if you are frugal at all and smart with your money, this is just kind of a dumb purchase, honestly. If you're really out there and you want a Switch and you were like, ah, 300 is too much, but 200 is just right, just buy a used Switch from somewhere.
Well, I was telling my coworker that, because one of my coworkers
and then
said,
you have the option to expand later.
Said they wanted to buy this thing, and I just kept asking why, because it's $100 cheaper, and I'm just like, it's not really though.
You're not getting the Joy-Cons or the dock.
You're not getting the Joy-Cons, you're not getting the dock, and like in that the whole main selling point of this system was always the fact that you could switch back and forth. I understand, I'm not trying to like discount the fact that there is a large audience out there that do handheld only. I know that.
I think a lot of people say that. I find it very hard to believe.
I haven't met anybody yet.
They say, lots of people say that. Lots of people are like, oh, I only play it in handheld mode. You're telling me that over the 2.5 years that the Switch has been out, no one has ever come to your house and been like, oh, let's play Smash Brothers. Oh, let's play 1-2 Switch. Or, oh, I want to check out the Switch. Let's play it real quick.
Well, my point to that too is like, even if you're not hooking up to your TV, like putting that kickstand out and being like, "Yo, let's play this game together."
Yeah.
When you buy a Switch, that's like one of the first things you like show off to your friends. Mm-hmm. That's what I did when I first got mine. Like we played it at the bar, and it was like that. This is what makes this system so cool. And again, like you said, you hit the nail on the head. Where the technology itself, it isn't great technology. It's just cool functionality.
Right. And you've just removed all the major functionality from it. Now it's just a 2DS XL.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. And both of us were interested in a Switch Lite. If this was the size of a PlayStation Vita and maybe, like, the same build quality, something like that, or, you know, had something. Maybe they were going to release a new firmware that lets you, you know, connect the two systems together or something. But, no. It doesn't really make a ton of sense to me.
Well, it just bums me out because this is the product that I wanted, and it's not going to happen now because of this one. Probably not.
Oh yeah, definitely not. Not at least for a few years now.
So it's unfortunate. So yep. Let us know what you guys think. I know a lot of you guys out there want this thing. Tell us why.
Yeah, let us know. leave us a review depending on how many stars you want to play this new Switch Lite. All right. What else we got here? Oh, okay. Here's something. We got that Turbo Mini.
Yeah.
50 games announced.
Yep.
Talk about it, man.
Okay. Recently, to everyone's surprise, the TurboGrafx-16, which, has become kind of a cult thing among retro collectors right now. It was a failed system in the West, but in the East, it was called a PC Engine. Highly successful system.
A great system.
It's a fantastic system. TurboGrafx-16 didn't have a giant library of games because the system failed pretty quickly. But over in the East, there was just an insane amount of games for the system. So many RPGs, so many like platformers, and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, it was more popular than the Sega systems.
All sorts of like obscure games were released to it, dating sims, etc. Anything you can think of, shooters, you name it. Like this system had it, and really like kicked ass at it.
Well, so I just mean specifically, we've already talked about the TurboGrafx
announcement
many times.
So anyway,
I mean
the
new games.
Right. So before only teased a small amount of the games, they've actually released the entire list of games that will come on your system. And what's kind of neat is that originally when they announced it, they separately announced it to Japan and America and gave their own distinct list of games, kind of like how the Genesis has done it and the Nintendo's done it. With this one, they're taking a different approach, and they're going to go ahead and release both libraries on all three iterations of the console because it's being released in America, Europe, and in Japan.
Yeah.
And all of them look differently. Like the American one's going to look like the TurboGrafx-16. Over the other countries, it's going to. I think the Europe one's pretty much the same thing, isn't it? The PC Engine, I think, is what it is. Europe didn't get it. I think they're just getting the PC Engine. So yeah. So what they're doing is, I believe it's a 24 American games and 26 Japanese games are going to be on there, which is it's sort of exciting just because, well, let me see here. About 50 games.
Oh,
total.
Real quick on the topic of the Genesis thing, I was right. The Japanese one did end up adding Yu Yu Hakusho.
Oh, well, there you go.
That was a good get.
That's a good get. So Yeah, there are 24 American versions of the game and 26 Japanese versions. And
are there
they
any
do
overlapping?
Yes. Oh, okay. Oh, there's plenty of overlap. Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It's also weird that there's certain omissions like Bonk 3.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, it's not a bad list of games.
Alien Crush, but no Devil's Crush.
Yeah.
That's a big miss.
Yeah, it's,
Well, because Devil's Crush across the board is considered to be the far superior version.
I'm overall pleased with the list that are on here. I mean, the American games, we got Air Zonk, which is awesome. I'm happy about that. I didn't expect that. Alien Crush, Blazing Lasers, Bomberman 93, which is a fantastic Bomberman game. Bonk's Revenge, just to go through the list a little bit.
Castlevania, Rondo of Blood.
Yep, that's the Japanese version, but at least we're getting it. Victory Run, you got the East Book 1 and 2.
And English or Japanese?
Both. It's going to be English and Japanese.
Okay.
Very disappointing moment. They could have had a really cool moment. Snatcher is being released.
Yeah, but in the Japanese version.
But I guess I don't even know what it would have taken for them to localize it, like
Konami's not going to do any actual work.
Exactly. So it would have
just dragging ROMs over onto a Raspberry Pi with a PC Engine shell.
So
they're not actually doing any real work. That's not what Konami does. They make pachinko games and that's it.
Well, if this is a really cool device, if the emulation ends up being cool, like it ends up being good, because that's been the biggest problem with these devices in the past. That no other company yet, Genesis might be the one. Is that has been able to top Nintendo's systems, because Nintendo Classic and the SNES Classic are very very great, like accurate emulation.
Yeah,
with lots of customization features and everything that actually make it as accurate as possible.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't like a Twitch shooter or like platform or anything, but me and you almost beat Contra 3 on my HDTV on Super Nintendo Classic, and that's
a tough game.
Yeah, and I never had any issues where I'm like, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is really cool information. I didn't realize at first that all 50 games were going to be on all three models of it. Because at first when they announced it, I'm like, I thought the same thing that everybody did, which is, are they really going to scatter these games across three different models of the system that you have to buy? And thankfully, the answer was no. They actually just put them all on each one, which is nice. This officially makes it... has more games than the NES or the SNES Classic, and I think the Sega Genesis Classic.
Kinda. With the overlap, it's hard to say.
True. But, I mean, they are individual games.
Yeah. It's cool that we're getting JJ and Jeff, and then I believe, I'm not sure, what is the Japanese style for JJ and Jeff over there? I wonder if they're getting the, actually, I bet they're not.
Well, because it's like a license.
Right. It's like two famous like TV show hosts in Japan. So, probably not, actually. So, but yeah, it's a cool device because, I mean, the TurboGrafx-16 is such a cool system that I think a lot of people, unfortunately, don't have the opportunity to play because it's become such an absurdly expensive system to collect on now. It's insane. The systems itself are, like, already expensive, and the games are just, even the more, like, common titles, are just continuing to scale in price. One major... omission from this list is Splatterhouse. That was a very iconic game
for
the American TurboGrafx-16. So very strange that that's not on there.
I've been very fortunate. I've pretty much just stumbled into my entire TurboGrafx collection.
Yeah.
Both with the console and then the Turbo Express and most of the games.
Knowing me has helped a lot.
Yeah. That plus just the system was like...
Yeah, you got really lucky with that.
$20 at a garage sale.
That was a ridiculous grab.
Yeah, so it's exciting for sure. It's an exciting time to be a retro gamer because everyone's... And once again, this is what we always talk about. Competition breeds great results. And this is just a perfect example of all these... Now that Nintendo did it successfully, all these companies are trying to... come in on that.
Well, that's it's just a side comment. I also, people have said this in the past, I think this is why Nintendo just doesn't want to do a virtual console anymore, because back then when the Wii came out, like retro gaming wasn't a thing really. I mean, like it was, but like it wasn't to where we are now, where like you have like the blown up YouTube culture of retro gaming and it's bleeding into the mainstream culture. And so it was such a niche feature back then. And now I think companies are really starting to see the value in their games. So I think they don't really want like a system where it just puts them all at the same price, and they want to be able to release them on their own in some shape or form. I would like a virtual console still.
I'm sticking to my guns. I think I would not be surprised at all if we eventually do see that NES Classic Collection and Super NES Classic Collection on like Switch and stuff.
Perhaps, maybe. I'm just hoping that we eventually just get SNES support once these NES games just get really stale.
The thing sucks anyway.
It's not that bad. Now that I have the controller, it's really not that
bad. It's still pretty bad.
Yeah, I just updated, I guess.
Very laggy. And
It's not that laggy.
I can't even play Mario 3 on it.
I don't know. I mean, have you tried it recently with like your new controller and all that stuff?
I've used the controller with it.
I don't know.
Lag is horrendous, and the biggest draw for me is playing online, and that doesn't work at all.
Well, I don't ever see that ever really working.
Yeah.
Just especially from Nintendo, but...
Oh, it worked on emulators.
To a degree, I guess. So.
All right, well, we got a review copy of Senran Kagura Peach Ball.
Yes.
Me and you have both been very excited about this game for a while now. Me probably more so than you, but...
You like pinball a lot.
I do like pinball a lot, and I like boobies a lot.
Yeah. For this game, you get them both.
Yeah, if you like TNA and and pinball, you're going to love this game, especially if you like anime TNA.
Yes. Senran Kagura is a very big series. Now, we've talked about it several times in this show, where it's a hack-and-slash adventure game that has spun off many obscure titles. Like, there's been a rhythm game where they cook. There's been a third-person shooter game where they are in swimsuits running around
shooting
water at each other. And I believe that's all the spinoffs, really, at this point. But so now and there's like a sort of dating sim massage simulator game for Reflections for a Switch. So we have Peach Ball now. So Peach Ball, so I just describe the game real quick, the story and all that stuff? Or
yeah, man, just whatever. What did you think of it?
Well, so the game is a... it's a pinball game, but with a really loose story of all the girls have changed into animal girls. And I'm not going to explain it too much more than that, but in order to change them back into human, you gotta play pinball and use the peach ball on them.
All right.
So right off the bat, this game is like chock full of fan service to the highest degree. Like, those Sony executives would lose their shit if they saw this game.
Yeah. This series is getting a lot more popular.
It is.
This game was reviewed at a lot of different
really?
Media outlets. Yeah.
How is it going? Because when they review Reflections, everyone was like slamming it for dumb reasons.
I didn't read a lot of the reviews because we've got our own website with reviews on it. I don't need to read everyone else's. But I kept seeing reviews for this game pop up, and like, they never review these games normally.
Or if you see it pop up, they usually just... talk trash on it, and it's just like, this is a creepy game, and it's just like, why are you playing this game then?
Yeah, I got accused of being a pedophile online for getting this game. What'd you think of it?
I love it. I think the price should be a little bit cheaper.
30, I think.
30 bucks would be the sweet spot for it, but it's a fantastic a good time, honestly. There's just so much content. There's so much events that happen within the game that make it just so goofy and over the top that it doesn't get stale that fast. That being said, common complaint, and I agree with it pretty much everyone, is that there's only two boards.
Yeah. And the second board is like a watered down board almost. It's very small.
Yeah. So that's a little disappointing, and I mean, it's cool. Like, they got my favorite character on there, so I get to play pinball, my favorite character, so that's cool.
Who's your favorite character?
I like Murasaki, the purple hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because she's so ridiculous. And I like, Riona. Riona.
Mm-hmm.
Riona. She's like the masochist girl.
Right.
She's hilarious. But the actual content of the game, it's just nonstop.
So you're playing like, pinball, you're hitting the balls around, you got to hit the girl's boobies and butt with the pinballs while she's at the top, and you get points for that. You can start, you can trigger mini games that come out, and then there's three phases to each game. As you build up your score, you unlock the sexy challenges. And basically, to give you an idea of what each sexy challenge is like, I'll just explain one of them, which is there's a bunch of rubber duckies. You go to a separate board. There's a bunch of rubber duckies that you're hitting with the balls in a limited amount of time. And depending on how high you get your ranking, it will trigger a scene where the duck swells up with water and then sprays the girl's clothes and boobs and butt with water. And then her clothes get shredded up progressively more and more as time goes on. Until you get to the super sexy challenge. Is that what it is? Sexy,
yes.
Final sexy challenge?
Yeah.
And
it's just...
And you have to hit the pinballs into... The peach balls into her either... Depending on which one you get, either her butt or her boobs.
Well, not into her butt, but
and
bouncing off the butt.
And then she'll turn back into a human.
It's thus, ridiculous reveal.
Thus becoming fully nude. But yeah. She'll be covered up.
Well...
She covers up.
By the way, guys, you're not tearing her clothes off. You're turning her more human. So the fur gets reduced down.
Right. But they're not really animals. They're like in animal swimsuits.
Well, I mean, they pretty much that the story is there's fur growing on those spots and they're slowly turning. Like they are like trying to sell you that they're turning into animals.
It's like lingerie.
In reality, it's like animal lingerie and like they have like foot paws and paws and stuff.
Yeah, I absolutely love this game. It's a riot.
The only criticism I have too is the difficulty could have been a little bit higher. It's very generous in a lot of parts where it's just like S rank, and yeah. It's just like all I'm doing is just.
I feel like maybe there might be harder modes to unlock or something.
Yeah,
I don't know, but yeah, it's very forgiving. I think it's just there to give you something to do while you're goofing off. Watching the scenes of the girl's clothes flying off.
Yeah.
So, overall, I had a good time with it. It was pretty much exactly what I had hoped for. Exactly what I expected.
Yep.
I would say, quality-wise, the cooking, Bon Appetit was better. Just because of the insanely... massive amount of content, and this is limited to only 5 of the characters. The Bon Appetit, I'm not sure how much you played it, if at all.
I didn't.
Yeah. Man, like 40 characters to play through.
Yeah.
Something like that. It was nuts. It was just nonstop. There's so much content. This has 5 characters, 2 boards. So it's a bare bones game. I theorize that we'll get more boards in DLC or something, but I'm not really into that. I hate DLC.
Yeah.
So I'm all right with like costume DLC, but when you're talking about gameplay, if it is, I would hope it would be free.
It won't.
No.
They love charging DLC for these games.
Yep. So, but overall, I gave this game a thumbs up. I really liked it a lot.
Yeah, I recommend it. I mean, I don't think you should rush out to buy it. I do think it should be a little bit cheaper. But again, if you're into these like Japanese games, these games always kind of tend to run at a higher price.
Yeah,
this is the way it goes. Like,
and I'm not sure how limited the physical release is, but I saw on their Twitter they're like, "All right, you can still pre-order it if you want to like get the physical release." So I don't know if that means it's going to be limited or not. I don't even know if this is a retail like in stores type of deal.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I was surprised to see Peach Ball like
Best Buy
at Best Buy, not Peach Ball, but what's it called?
Peach Blast.
I was surprised to see that at Best Buy.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if we see this on shelves somewhere. So
it was a lot of fun though. If you like pinball and you like anime girls, this is a must buy.
Check
it
out.
If you like just the anime girls and you kind of like pinball, check it out. And if you don't like pinball, this game definitely is not for you.
Well. You can get on the Switch, and then also they already announced a Steam version that will be released at some point.
Right, PC.
Yeah.
All right. Got anything else you want to talk about?
Not really, no.
I saw that Midsummer movie.
Oh?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Nah, not really. You didn't see Hereditary, right?
No, never saw it.
Why not, man?
Just never got around to it.
I told you it was good.
I know you did.
Well, this is from the same director as Hereditary. It is a cult movie. I don't mean like it's a cult classic. I mean it's about a cult.
Yeah.
It's like kind of like Wicker Man type of deal. maybe like Rosemary's Baby. I think this director really loves Rosemary's Baby because I'm pretty sure I compared Hereditary to that as well. So it's about some young college kids that are...
taking drugs.
Taking drugs and going to this cult in the middle of Sweden. And it's called Midsummer. And one of the things about it, where they're at, is up in Sweden during the certain time of the year or whatever, it's like always light out because they're near the North Pole. So that's something. And then it's a lot of drugs. They do a lot. Like that was one of my flaws with the movie. I felt like the movie leaned very hard on like the drug sequences where things would get all weird and stuff. And there was very little content during those. It was just a lot of like, you know, visual weirdities. The movie was extremely unsettling. The director knows, he's got that nailed down. Because
to make you uncomfortable?
Yeah, it makes you very uncomfortable, and that's how Hereditary was, where I really enjoyed the movie. I still haven't watched it again because of how unsettling it was. But it was... but overall, I felt like it kind of was a misfire. It had a lot of missed opportunities. I don't know if you plan on seeing it anytime soon, but what, Midsummer?
Yeah.
Or Hereditary?
Both.
Okay, well... Midsummer was all right. It wasn't as good as I thought it would be, and I feel like it kind of meandered quite a bit and didn't really say too much or do too much. It was way too long. It could have definitely cut about a half an hour out of it, probably. That's how overstuffed the movie was. It was very little happens, and there's characters that they underutilize and focus. The two main characters that they focus on were the least interesting. So, overall, wasn't a huge fan. It's got good reviews. I mean, maybe it's just me, but it's not a bad movie. Like, I didn't leave, and I was like, oh, that was awful.
On a scale of 1 to Ghost Ship.
Never seen Ghost Ship all the way through. probably better than Ghost Ship.
Oh, wow.
I would say it was definitely better than Ernest Goes to Jail.
I don't believe that.
So... you know, if you really, really love cult movies, I guess go check it out. But overall, I was underwhelmed. Didn't leave the theater disgusted with it, but we had quite a bit of complaints as we walked to the car afterwards.
Yeah, these days, I mean, you accuse me of going to theaters a lot. To me, going to the movie theater is a social event thing for me now, where it's just, when I had MoviePass, I loved going to movies by myself. It's just that I'm so frugal and I just overall just don't like the movie theater experience that much anymore. It's just, it's usually just more, I'm tired of people talking during movies. I'm tired of people,
right.
All that stuff. So I see me just watching this at home.
Yeah.
Personally. Especially since I would like to have a more intimate experience with this kind of movie.
Well, it'll be good. I mean, you're moving to a place too where, you're probably going to need to watch most of your stuff with headphones.
Yeah.
If you really want to get a good audio experience. Yeah. I would actually recommend investing in some nice like surround sound headphones.
Oh, no. I already plan on doing that. I want to get some like super nice...
Some like Dolby Atmos.
Like a Bluetooth... Are there really good like headphones like that for Bluetooth?
I don't know. Typically, if you really care about like fidelity, you don't want anything wireless.
You don't want anything wireless, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's not worth a watch. It's just, it was underwhelming. Know that going into it. Because I was super excited about it. We went opening weekend, which I almost never do. I really loved Hereditary, so I was super excited for this. And we left kind of just like, eh, whatever.
Oh, well.
So, all right, well, if you made it this far, thank you so goddamn much. We love you. We want you to subscribe, and we want you to leave that review. Send us an email at analogoutpodcast@gmail.com. Send us your questions, your comments, your concerns. We'll read them off on the podcast. It'll be good fun. You can check us out at analogoutmedia.com, where you can read all these reviews that we talked about. You can see the latest news. You can follow us on Twitter. I got links on there. You can follow us on the Facebook. It'll just be a good time. We're ready to interact with you. If you send us a tweet, we're going to respond almost immediately. That's how on top of it we are.
I'm up all night waiting for that text.
Yeah. I sleep personally in bed with my phone on silent, except for I have it set do not disturb, except for if someone contacts analog out, it'll make a really loud noise and wake everyone up. So thank you again, and we love you very much. And we want you to listen real soon. Bowman?
Yes.
Say something.
Something.
Bye-bye.
Log out.